101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, baby, it's another Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody, as the song goes. Welcome. It's the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM, 720 AM on them radio dials you gots out there. Thanks for joining us. We are going to be talking pro wrestling for the next hour, our special Saturday edition, while they're still letting us do it. I guess it's a good idea. People are listening, so it's all good. And I have my sidekick with me tonight, James Samuel, sitting in. What's going on, big man?
What's going on, Box? How you feeling?
Well, you probably don't want to ask that question. I had a really long day. But, hey, I'm here. I'm peppy. I'm ready to roll. You know?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. How are you, by the way? What's happening?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I felt it was a good week of wrestling, so we should have a good show.
It looked like it was going to be a week we were just going to get to talk about wrestling. Going into about Wednesday, it's kind of like, yeah, man, we're actually going to just talk about what happened in the ring. Yeah, not so much. Oh, my God. The axe has fallen again at Titan Towers. James, wow. Another massive round of releases, and not just wrestlers, but WWE personnel were let go as well. So we're gonna start off with that tonight. So let's hit that list, and some big names let go by WWE. James, I kind of called this one the "we really screwed you up, so we're just gonna let you go" list, because that's about what they did. Here it is, WWE main roster ones that bit the dust. Karrion Kross, and boy, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to hear what Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling is going to have to say about that tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to be quite cranky because he was one of the people to help train Karrion Kross. So he is gone. The Bearcat, the new Bearcat, now not the Bearcat anymore. He was just a Bearcat for a few weeks. Keith Lee. Of course, he and Karrion Kross, both former NXT champions, so they will join the list of Vince McMahon didn't like the toys that were in that play box. Nia Jax, the former WWE Raw Women's Champion, is gone. And this one kind of broke my heart. After signing their contract 1 week after coming up on the main roster on SmackDown, B-Fab is gone. That is just unbelievable. Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado, the two of the luchadors, are history. Mia Yim, who, of course, got stuck in Retribution when she was brought up from NXT, has been released. She is engaged to Keith Lee. Eva Marie is gone. Not sure why that didn't happen sooner, but Eva Marie is history. And I had to laugh because I'm pulling the list off Cultaholic on this, James. Harry Smith, who is the son of the British Bulldog, they have him listed as unassigned. Do you realize that this poor guy, this is a second run in WWE, they never used him. They never put him on a show. So he is unassigned and released. And then NXT had a bunch of people sent packing. Scarlett Bordeaux, who, of course, was working with Karrion Kross and made that terrific duo, she had not been pulled up with Karrion for some crazy reason, but she has been released. So, and, of course, she's engaged to Karrion Kross, so gone. Ember Moon, who is completely underutilized in WWE, she is gone. Frankie Monet, who used to be Tara Valkyrie in Impact, if you remember her, great wrestler, but she put out a tweet that said that didn't go the way we planned it. Oni Lorcan, former WWE NXT tag team champion, history. And then Jesse Kamea, Zeta Ramir, Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, and Jeet Rama all released in another bloodletting at WWE headquarters. Boy, where do you even start on that list?
Well, I think you have to start with Karrion Kross. I think he's the most notable at all of them. I think that was just mostly, I think they seen that was going to probably be an issue with him, with them, you know, with the creative and him not really getting on the terms. So I think they just, you know, were proactive. I think the same thing with Keith Lee. I think creatively, those, you know, the company and performer weren't on the same page, so they did the same with him. The only baffling one I really see is the B-Fab, just because she's on the main roster. Nia Jax, I received some news that it was hers was more of she was scheduled to be on the November 15th edition of Raw, and she said she cannot be there, citing mental health. So after that, that really was what prompted her release.
Yeah, she was very vocal about that. I believe it was an Instagram post that she did, saying that she had asked for time off for mental health, and when she had been scheduled to wrestle again, and she asked for a little more time and got her release, which was that doesn't help the mental health issues. That's for sure. That is rough. And you're looking at, you know, those main releases with Karrion Kross and Keith Lee, two people that their characters got absolutely butchered when they got pulled up to the main roster. For those that don't know, I guess I'll start with Keith Lee. He and Karrion Kross actually wrapped up a feud in NXT where Kross really took his first loss down there to Keith Lee. Lee won, was the North American, NXT North American champion, and wrestled Karrion Kross for the NXT title. Keith Lee won, and then both of them went up to the main roster. And Keith Lee just got the rocket. I mean, he was getting pushed to the moon. He was wrestling Randy Orton almost right away. It was right in the main event scene. There was no question that Keith Lee looked like he was a future WWE champion. And then he had that issue, the heart issue, which put him on the shelf for quite a while. And everybody was speculating, well, what happened to Keith Lee? And he comes back and they rebrand him the Bearcat after... and I hope I don't say the wrong name, Bearcat Williams, I believe it was, who was a pioneer African-American wrestler, but they just couldn't do anything with him. And so he is history, and this is a guy who's immensely talented. He's not the best promo, so not the biggest talker, but an incredible talent, absolutely incredible talent. It was quite funny when somebody asked him about whether he had was the one that came up with the Bearcat nickname. His answer to that on Twitter was, no, it was not, LOL. And of course, then all of a sudden, somebody from WWE, an anonymous source, came out and said that Keith Lee was being difficult and, you know, we couldn't work with him. It's, you know, on his character and everything else. And it sounded just like Bray Wyatt. It was the same kind of talk. And I guess I could understand, you know, Bray Wyatt is, Wyndham Rotunda is a very creative person, obviously. He has an unbelievable mind and terrific ideas, very protective of what he's doing. But, you know, see, maybe you could understand that a little bit. But Keith Lee, James, I'm not getting this. I can't buy that with Keith Lee. I just can't.
Yeah, I think it was just more of them just, like you said, butchering him. They're just... have a habit of doing that to some prominent NXT guys, and he was definitely one of those.
Yeah, and then I'm sorry, go ahead.
They put his character in a whole different direction. First, he was just, you know, what I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be, you know, one of those guys they have the full-out matches, like great matches, like an AJ Styles type. That's what I thought, or a Samoa Joe type. That's what I thought he was going to be. But they kind of pulled him off in a whole different direction, and it never stuck, and it was just a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, they couldn't figure out what to do with him, and they were talking about making him a heel. And they just, I don't know what it was, but they could not, you know, they had him figured out down in NXT, but they couldn't figure it out on the main roster. And then the Karrion Kross situation. What a hideous way to handle that. And boy, I feel like I'm banging WWE hard, but they deserve it over this one. Karrion Kross, of course, he and Scarlett had this amazing ring entrance, and Karrion had just been dominant. Just picture the toughest guy in the room. You know, sitting in smoke back in the corner. You know, you don't want to mess with this guy, and when you did, you lost. And he came up to the main roster and got pinned in 90 seconds by Jeff Hardy, just out of the blue. And then, you know, he got some wins back and a couple, but then they put him in this gladiator outfit. I'm like, did Jim Herd and the Ric Flair thing show back up? But Karrion Kross is just the character was lost. And they were talking about doing a third rebranding with him, and they just said no. And I'll tell you, some wrestling organization out there is going to benefit from having that former Impact World Champion getting on their roster. How do you feel about the Karrion Kross situation?
I think Karrion Kross is one of the best characters in all of wrestling. He has a great body build, you know, great look. He does his moveset fits him, and that's kind of, you know, exactly what you want from a wrestler. Very believable. And he, you know, and with the whole interest with Charlotte, you know, he could benefit from that. So I think, you know, he has nothing to worry about. Wherever he goes, he's going to, you know, pick right up.
And you know, the one that really I thought was sad was releasing B-Fab. She was part of a four-person stable called Hit Row. Great African-American stable. A lot of excitement, a lot of fun brought up from NXT. And they pull her out of Hit Row literally 1 week after they sign them and bring them up. And I can't understand why you would do that. It's really sad when you think that, you know, here's someone who's been working hard to attain their dream. You give it to them, they make it, and then literally a week later, you pull her off and the rest of the guys have to go do their thing. Yeah, that's just horrible treatment. I mean, why would you even pull her up if you were going to do that to her?
Exactly.
Yeah, so B-Fab gone. And Mia Yim is another one that I just, boy, they ruined her. The whole Retribution stable. For those that don't know about the Retribution stable, they took four wrestlers from NXT, put them in these weird masks and made them this apocalyptic group that was wrecking everything. And, you know, the lights would go out and all of a sudden the ringside area is destroyed and they're beating people up. But then they never won matches and got no push. And they had some great wrestlers like Donovan Dijakovic, who was in that group, you know, got put in there as T-Bar, and he's still on the roster. But they ruined four people there. And, you know, Mia Yim is a great talent. I feel terrible for her. But I will say this. At least they released Keith and they released her since they're engaged. They're going to be able to stay together. So if you're going to do it, I suppose that's the one silver lining about the whole thing. But Mia Yim going down, pretty sad there. You know, Ember Moon, another one they didn't do anything with. Frankie Monet, hopefully she'll be going back to being Tara Valkyrie, because she was one of the fun ones to watch in when she was in Impact. So, but this is, you know, now you have a situation where here's another influx of wrestlers that are now on the free market and Ring of Honor's gone. So, James, I'll ask you this. Do any of these people end up in AEW? Do they end up in Impact? What do you think the future is for some of these guys?
I can see Mia Yim in AEW, and Keith Lee. I can see him there, too. But those are really only two I see there. The rest, I see Kross going back to Impact or maybe Japan. Who else? B-Fab. I can see her going to AEW too. I think they would add her to their woman roster.
Yeah, I don't see too many of these people ending up in AEW. I think their roster's pretty loaded, but Karrion Kross is a guy that I think is going to set off a bidding war on this. But I honestly, to a point, I agree with you about Karrion Kross, because I think the situation for him is, if he would go to AEW, your problem is you've got Malakai Black, who is they're not the same wrestler. Malakai is a much more martial arts oriented guy, but they kind of have the same gimmick, the dark, occulty, you know, live in fear of me kind of vibe to him. So I don't know if Karrion Kross, you know, if now obviously he could change his gimmick up a little bit, but I don't know if Karrion, I mean, like, I think he would have to make some changes to fit into the AEW roster at this point. But the one thing is, whoever gets him and gets Scarlett, boy, I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of people rooting for him. It's going to be really a ton of sympathy after what WWE did to him. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a tricky one. That's definitely a tricky one. So,
yeah, definitely.
Think Eva Marie's going to end up in AEW?
I don't know. No. I think Eva Marie's going to go back to being like on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah,
that's what she's going to do.
She's got a life outside of there. But you know, another one, you know, Ember Moon, I think, is a possibility. And Harry Smith, the son of the British Bulldog, is he was a great wrestler. WWE saw what they need to see to bring him back, but to not use him at all, man, that seems like a real, real waste. Really does. But do you think Harry Smith's an AEW guy?
I actually see him in Japan as well.
Yeah.
I see him in Japan.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. So, of course, there were, and I will mention, I don't have the full list of names, but Cultaholic did report that four executives were also let go from WWE this week, like top-level people, and they're going to be replacing them internally. So more what appears to be budget cuts. That's what they said about all these guys, that they were budget cuts. Plus, the chief financial officer also resigned, so she's getting replaced. What, James, what is going on at WWE right now? I mean, this is this really budget cuts? Is this, you know, trying to trim the fat and see if we can, you know, streamline our operations? It's a weird situation.
I think it's more of two things. It's trimming the fat and also putting a stern message to the talent that you're either going to ride on with what we're going to push you on creatively, or you're not going to be in here. So that's really, now I think it's driven home with the most emphasis ever, that if you're in WWE, you're either going to go along with how Vince is going to have your character, or you're not going to be there. So that's where I think WWE is from now on, at Vince's mercy.
Oh, and to a point, I certainly understand the mentality behind what they're doing. Because for those that haven't heard, of course, they, you know, when they're changed around their NXT show, which is more of their developmental wrestlers, and said, we're not hiring any guys under over 30. If they're not 30 and over 225, they aren't here. They're even saying with the women, the number was varied, you know, listening to Wrestling Observer, either 23 or 25 years old, they're not bringing them in. So they're really trying to do what they did. And to their credit, they have brought some homegrown talent in, you know, Roman Reigns and Big E, who are their two champions right now, both people that started off in the WWE developmental system. So to a point, I understand, because you want to whittle that down to, look, this is my core group of people. I only want to have the best up here. I only have the ones that are going to fit. And we're just, instead of bringing in guys from indies and everywhere else, you know, we're going to bring in our own people. We're going to teach them our own way. We're going to give them the WWE experience from start to finish, and that's it. And, you know, obviously, now if someone like MJF or someone like that from AEW would want to join WWE, they're obviously going to take him. But it's certainly, to a point, I get it. But I think some of these cuts were just based on, man, we blew it. We blew it and we don't know what to do. So I feel bad. A lot of people lost their jobs again. On the other side, they have a vision of, okay, we're going to really focus this thing down, and we're going to make sure that the people that we have in our organization are the ones that fit our mold, our global sports entertainment mold, and that's it. So what do you think about that?
I think that's kind of smart. Like, to the fan base, you know, they're going to be mad. Like, oh, I like that dude. Oh, I've been following him since the independence. So, you know, their loyalty to that performer is going to sway their emotions there. But if you're looking at a company, you know, wise running it, it makes sense to really just have people in-house that are fitting your personnel decisions on how your, you know, ring style and presentation of sports entertainment is.
Yeah, and if you look at Karrion Kross and Keith Lee, both successful in other organizations. Keith Lee was big on the independent scene. You know, Karrion Kross successful in Impact. But boy, that seems like a little bit of wasted talent. I mean, I really could have seen if they hadn't have messed Karrion Kross up and just kept the same character going. You could see him wrestling Roman Reigns at WrestleMania at some point. You could see that coming, or Big E, either one, would have been a terrific clash. So I don't know. There's a lot of people that are angry right now out there. If you get on the Twitterverse, it's just beating up WWE like crazy. And to a point, I understand, but I also understand that they want to try and trim things down. They've even said, there's rumors going around that they've even said that they're going to be doing evaluations on everybody every 6 months. When you come in, you're on a 60-day probation period. If we don't think you can cut it, see you later, we're done. So they're not playing anymore, man. They're not playing.
Not at all.
No.
You were going to toe the line.
Yeah, you know, and I hadn't really thought of it the way you said it, that it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, here's your warning shot, get in line or you're out. And Tony Khan in AEW can't take all of these people on. He can't do it. He can't do it. You know, so Impact's going to certainly be there. And boy, what a terrible time for Ring of Honor to be close, you know, at least temporarily shutting down their operations. Because, boy, there was an influx and opportunity to get some talent here that, right now, they're not going to get. So, very, very interesting goings on in the world of professional wrestling right now. Yeah, get on that Twitterverse. We're going to be talking a little bit about some other Twittery things that happened later on in the show. Don't make Lince Dorado mad, as I think we've found out. But, hey, we're going to take a break. James and I are going to be back here in just a little bit. Talking more professional wrestling here on KDWN 101.5 FM 720 AM, the Talk of Las Vegas, special Saturday edition, and we'll be back on Sunday morning at 8 AM. Big special announcement, by the way, James. I got a special announcement.
Yay!
Yay! You're gonna love it. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Stick around. We'll be right back.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the Talk of Las Vegas. You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah. Ring that bell, baby. Let's do another half hour of great pro wrestling news and entertainment. Here on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the Talk of Las Vegas. Top-rated sports on out of all the sports and talk radio stations on our Sunday show in the entire Vegas market. Pretty cool. Well, thank you for listening. We'll see what happens here on the Saturday night. We're just kind of filling
Mark,
in. But
can you say that one more time?
That we're the best?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're number one. Yeah, boy. Yeah, but yeah, so very exciting. And thank everybody for listening, and hope you're enjoying our special Saturday edition with James Samuel over here, sitting in with, of course, on Sunday we have Andrew Fish Fane and Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling, who's finally coming back home. Had to deal with that, the death of his mother, and was back in New York taking care of business. So we'll look forward to having those boys back on the air on Sunday as we break more of this down. And speaking of breakdowns, another big news story that hit on Tuesday, announced via tweet by AEW's Tony Khan, that Jon Moxley, of course, Jon is was known as Dean Ambrose in WWE, and of course world champion there and world champion in AEW, and was in the a semifinal match, scheduled to do a semifinal match in their world championship eliminator tournament, which was clearly headed to a match with him against Bryan Danielson at Full Gear next week. Which, by the way, James, you know, we're going to be on the air right around when Full Gear's wrapping up. So that should be fun.
Yes.
Yes. But unfortunately, Moxley has enrolled himself in an inpatient alcohol treatment program. Not sure where that's going to be. Of course, John and Renee Paquette, who are married and actually lived here in Vegas, but they are actually ready to pack up and move out back to Cincinnati, where John's from. So not sure where exactly he is, but John Moxley pulled from the tournament and you know, all of his future booking dates with AEW and everywhere else to get better. And you know, we want to wish John all the best. You know, certainly he's been one of my favorites for a really long time. And but I will say this, and James, you know, I want you to chime in on this. Kudos to AEW for not saying to him, hey, you know, can you finish these dates out? Can we get through the tournament? Can we get through the Bryan Danielson match, you know, at Full Gear, and then you can go? I think that took a lot of guts for them to say, you know, John, you know, obviously admitting that he has this problem, and AEW just said, go, get better. Now, this doesn't matter. What matters is your health. And that kind of goes to what I really see is that familial atmosphere at AEW. What, you know, your reaction to the John Moxley story?
For one, you know, you just got to start with, you know, kudos to him for, you know, having the courage to do that. You know what I mean? Especially at that moment, you know, thinking I have to do this match, you know, the Bryan Danielson match, and putting himself and his family first. So that's awesome. And Moxley has lived in Vegas, and he's, you know, always talked great about Vegas. So he's a great great citizen here. So hope he gets better. And as far as AEW goes, you know, that's the way to have, you know, good performance, because for most people, especially if they come from WWE, that is the main gripe. And they didn't feel like they were treated as humans. They were treated as just go do this every night. I don't care. Do it until your body falls apart and we get rid of you. So the fact that they feel like Khan actually cares about them as humans is going to make them go the extra mile for him and his promotion.
You know, and the reason I wanted to go back-to-back with the stories that we did was I think it all ties together, because I can only imagine what the morale is like at WWE right now. For those that haven't seen it, Denise Salcedo from Wrestling Observer, if you go and look, she's been tweeting out a list of the people that have been released for over the last 2 years in WWE. And it's obviously so disheartening to see, you know, creative make mistakes over there. All these people have been let go, and you know, obviously not a ton of them are, you know, are superstars anywhere else, but the ones that are really good that AEW has brought in, they made them successful. And you see how WWE is just turning into a factory, it seems like, as opposed to AEW, who is treating their people great. If you're a wrestler, you've got to be looking at all this and saying, boy, I might make more money over there, but I think this might be a little more fun and enjoyable to work over here. You know, and this is just, and I'm going to get treated better. You know, and I think this story adds to that feeling and that sentiment that's got to be going through everybody's heads right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's really, you know, cut and dry right now. You know, as far as your decision making, if you're a free agent and you have to pick between AEW and WWE, it's going to be what is more important to you? You know, financial? If so, WWE. If comfortability and, you know, all that humanity stuff, then AEW.
Yeah, so we'll... we'll see what happens as we move forward here, because obviously Vince isn't going to be doing a lot of signings at this point. So we'll see if Tony Khan takes the bait, if he overbooks or oversigns people or what. But certainly you heard all the pot shots on Rampage last night. The AEW is taking to WWE. I might be a little careful with that, but it was still pretty funny. Did you get to see that last night, by the way?
Yeah, I did. I don't think WWE cares in the slightest about that at this moment. And at first, I thought it was just just them trying to be cockier than normal about the, we don't view AEW as a competition. But the more and more it comes out, it seems like they really don't. The fact that they, because I feel if they did, they would not be doing this many releases and even giving AEW a chance to get talent.
Well, then the ironic thing too, with all these cuts coming out, was they had their quarterly stock meeting and conference call, and they pulled around $256 million in the last quarter. So they're doing okay. I don't think they're too worried about it. But it was kind of interesting to see Max Caster, part of the tag team Acclaimed. Anthony Bowen wrestled Bryan Danielson last night and taking a pot shot at John Laurinaitis, saying that his father-in-law was ending more careers, and then John Silver, who was a guy I loved to death, member of the Dark Order, in their little interaction with Adam Cole before they wrestled their match on Dynamite, said, put a pot shot at the WWE, who had proposed that Adam Cole should shave his head and be a manager to Keith Lee. And Silver said that he should shave his head and be his manager and call himself Budge. Just unbelievable stuff. So the bullets are kind of flying just a little bit over the fence right now. But it was funny. You got to admit it, James.
Yeah. You know, especially with the whole, Young Bucks are, they love going at WWE. And I think that's the one that gets under WWE skin is the Young Bucks.
Oh, I'm sure it does. There was another guy, and I get just real quick, because I did want to make sure that this got mentioned at some point. Bray Wyatt on Twitter took a shot at him, and I'm trying, there it is. And he said, the tweet was, "What do we do now? We wait for the right place. We wait for the right time. Then we turn Rome to ashes, groveling in the muck of avarice. I believe in you too." That was his reaction to all the releases. So I got a feeling that Bray is headed to AEW at some point. And, there's so many people over there that have animosity towards WWE. I tell you, it's almost seems like it's unifying that locker room to say, man, we gotta lay it down and put on a great show every night and see what we can do. So that was quite the statement from Wyndham Rotundo, I should say.
Yeah, I think it was a very good one. Some of those talents, who aren't as sought after and well received as him, probably were feeling a lot of anxiety, a lot of nervousness. And I think him, taking the time to talk to his fellow, people in that situation was cool.
Yep, absolutely. Did want to get to talk a little bit about, of course, what was on the TV this week. Had some pretty interesting happenings going on other than the trash talking. I know you really enjoyed SmackDown this week. Your thoughts on WWE SmackDown on Friday night?
I think the opening was amazing with the whole King Woods and Reigns interaction, with the whole, okay, either we win tonight, you bend the knee to King Woods, or, vice versa, we'll acknowledge you. And really to put a match, a Jey Uso and King's Wood match, have to put so much importance on it and make it a worthy main event. I think that's really the formula to have a good show. Weekly, your opening segment opened up the anticipation to a main event people want to see.
Well, I had, I thought overall good show, but there's two issues that I had with the SmackDown show last night. One is Cesaro taking a fall against Los Lotharios. That is Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, new tag team. Cesaro is supposed to be wrestling Walter over in the United Kingdom, and they just had him take a fall to a new tag team on SmackDown. I'm a big Cesaro guy, and I just, that one made me cringe a little bit. My other issue is you just crowned Xavier Woods as King of the Ring, and all of a sudden, there's a good chance that he's going to end up going against Roman Reigns and possibly get buried here and ruin the impact of him winning that tournament. That I am very concerned about that. Do you see where I'd be coming, where I'm coming from on that?
Yeah, before, you're saying as far as Cesaro, right?
Well, and for Xavier Woods, with him now being, they're in this feud with the Bloodline, and it sounds like they're going to put Woods up against Roman Reigns, and all the momentum that Woods just got from winning King of the Ring could be destroyed by Roman Reigns.
No,
and
but see, I think it would be the exact opposite. I think that's a good move to elevate him, to give him a sense of, like, you know, like he, importance. Have the Roman Reigns really rub off on him. Like the rest of the people Reigns has wrestled, they're already been established. So I think that this could be the first star that Roman Reigns makes.
But, well, the question is that how do they book these matches? Because if they're going to happen, you know, if Woods loses and you know, let's just say they decide Roman's just going to crush him, you know, what does that do to Xavier Woods? It's going to be a really tricky line here for them to walk.
I think that they're going to have him with Roman Reigns doing it very much on a cheating way. So that way, you know, Roman Reigns still, of course, gets the win that we all know he's going to get, but it elevates Woods because he'll put on some great matches, and then they're like, oh, well, Roman Reigns had to rely on the Usos, or Roman Reigns had to do a sneaky move, or after the bell move, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, so when that happens, what, you know, then we see what happens with Xavier Woods, because, you know, I'm just worried he's going to end up in no man's land after that, and no, hopefully he won't. I mean, it would be sad if he did, but who knows with WWE creative right now what their ideas are. But yeah, overall, good, really good, you know, solid episode of SmackDown. Just, you know, like I said, I'm being a little extra critical right now, but you know, just those were just some thoughts that I had on that.
Which show did you enjoy more, Dynamite or SmackDown this week?
I enjoyed Dynamite too. You know, I really, Rampage was a fun show this week. I really enjoyed Rampage.
I liked that promo between CM Punk and Kingston.
Yeah, CM Punk and Eddie Kingston is going to be an amazing match coming up at Full Gear next week. Man, that's next Saturday night. I can't believe I'm going to have to work. I got to get out of it, but then I wouldn't be able to do the show, so we're kind of stuck on that. But if you didn't see it, CM Punk and Eddie Kingston decided that they were going to air their grievances from 15 years ago and how Eddie has never liked CM Punk, and they got the whole administration of AEW to separate them. But a hard-hitting promo there, man. They do not hold back in AEW, and Eddie Kingston didn't hold back in that one either. That was something, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that has a lot of, you know, real in it. I really think that's what it was. I think that was absolutely real. I think they have some, you know, situations from, you know, that locker room. So
yeah, and Adam Cole wrestling John Silver. And for those that haven't seen John Silver of the Dark Order, John is a hero to all those short guys out there. I don't think he's taller than I am. I really don't. He's probably about 5'6", 5'7". He's built like a tank. But, man, I just love watching his energy in the ring. That man can fly. He can do great power moves. I mean, he's just a speed demon in there. I mean, you wouldn't look at him and think that he would have that kind of explosiveness. But, you know, he did lose the match, obviously, to Adam Cole. I mean, Cole's not taking that loss. But John Silver continues to impress, and boy, I hope he gets a push someday because he is, you know, and he's a funny guy too. His promos are great.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a talent to look at for people who can have a great 2022.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the Dark Order. You know, people are still speculating that when Wyndham Rotunda shows up, that he might be taking the Dark Order over. But you know, who knows? And let's see, just a real quick running down through some of the other matches that happened this week. I'm just running down. Mostly set up for Full Gear on Dynamite. Really good match with Cody Rhodes and Andrade El Idolo. That was a fun one to see. Little ton of interference there at the end. It seems like everybody is out to get Cody at this point. It really does seem like they are trying to rehabilitate Cody Rhodes and not get him booed anymore. So nothing like a good 4-on-1 attack to help that one out. But how do you feel about where Cody is right now?
I think Cody, he has not made a genuine connection with the audience in AEW. I think, and when that happens, that's the reaction you're going to get. Like, them, you know, reacting to you that way. Like, all they know is you're the one of the, you know, vice president, and you're going to have your, you know, and you're becoming what you were so staunchly against in WWE. And that's why I think he gets that much hate and booing.
Yeah, and it's tough for him too, because, you know, his dad was, Dusty was the head booker in the NWA and a lot of the territories there and in the Mid-Atlantic. And, you know, so he grew up seeing Dusty kind of toe that line too, where, you know, he's a prominent guy in the organization. He's the one making the decisions of who's winning and losing. And, you know, I think Cody, but it's so different now. It's not like back then where, you know, everybody knows your every move and sees everything you do. You know, Dusty was, you know, nobody, a lot of people didn't know, oh, Dusty's booking all this. They had no clue. Now, but everybody knows that Cody and the Bucks and Kenny, while their role's been reduced a little bit, that they are still, you know, heavily involved. And Cody, you know, and I think Cody made a mistake getting out too much doing, you know, the TV show and then doing the reality show. And, you know, it seemed like he Hollywooded up, and that's, you know, that's not a Dusty Rhodes kind of thing to do. So a little tricky line for Cody coming up.
Yeah. I think they felt that this Black program was going to be the one to, you know, catapult him into the fans actually caring about his storylines. Now, that I think they hit the mark on. I think the storyline with Black is what people are invested in. It's just if they're going to get their desired outcome as far as fan reaction to him, that's, you know, remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. By the way, I don't know if you saw the announcement today, but the teams were announced for Survivor Series. Of course, the WWE, of course, Survivor Series pay-per-view coming up here right around Thanksgiving, and WWE announced who is on the Raw and SmackDown's men and women's teams, and there we go, finally found it. Do you know how many windows I have open? James, it's a lot. It's a lot of windows. I think people would be looking at my computer right now saying, Mark, what the hell are you doing? And by the way, this is the Mark Hoke Show on KTWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM. And James Samuel along for the ride here. WWE Survivor Series teams. I will have two questions after this is over for you, James. So brace yourself. The Raw team, men's team, is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio. They will take on the SmackDown team of Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods, Sami Zayn, and Baron Corbin. Just for fun, by the way, none of the members of the Raw team were on Monday Night Raw until the draft that just happened last month. And two of the SmackDown guys were on SmackDown. For the women, we've got Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Zelina Vega. Ripley was the only one that was on Raw until a few weeks ago. they will face off with Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Aaliyah. Baszler and Aaliyah were the only ones that were on SmackDown. So 15 of the 20 participants had just switched brands and now are fighting for the other brand. First, your reaction to these teams. What do you think?
Not much excitement for the match. That's the number one thing. That's my number one. I think they really haven't had the same, importance in the matches historically that have been attached to Survivor Series. They used to use that for a very important, elimination-style match. I think that they've been, going against away from that.
Yeah, it used to be used to extend feuds. If you go back and look at Survivor Series, the earlier pay-per-views, someone would be feuding with somebody else, and then they'd each put a team together and duke it out. And you would obviously have some other matches too, but you would have multiple Survivor Series matches on that pay-per-view. And now it's gotten away from it where now we've got two. Okay. But the other question, and I think you kind of touched on, and then we're going to talk about the selections a little bit, is do you care? Do you care about these matches?
No. as of right now, no. Like, maybe, hopefully, some story development will come up to where, it gives us fans some reason to be invested in said matches. But at the moment, no.
Seth Rollins seems to not do well in having friends on his Survivor Series team. If you look at the team that he's on, Finn Balor, the guy who he hurt when they wrestled for the Universal title, and Finn Balor won, but he had to give the belt up the next day. So Seth's not buddies with him. Big feud at WrestleMania 2 years ago with Kevin Owens. Probably not going to get along there. And Rey Mysterio, who he just popped his eyeball out a little while ago. Not for real, by the way. But and then Rey's son. Seth Rollins might not be in for a fun night at Survivor Series. To say the least. So, that's kind of a weird team. When these teams were announced, the internet blew up and people were screaming, why didn't you put AJ Styles on the team? You could have teamed with Finn Balor, Bullet Club. It's never happened. Missed opportunity there. And then the other name that I saw a lot was Toni Storm not being put on the Women's SmackDown team instead of, say, Natalya or somebody else. But the AJ Styles one, that is an opportunity missed. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah, Marco, I'm going to give you a chance to fantasy book. What are you going to do to save Survivor Series right now?
I just hate the way the whole thing's set up. I don't like the champion versus champion matches because you're diminishing one of the champions. I mean, if it were me, I would have gone back to the way Survivor Series used to be and have your champions set up teams. You could have that confrontation with, say, Big E and Roman Reigns without belittling one of them and making them look bad, by having to take a loss. I just think that they should have gone back to what they were doing. And it's one of those things where people, there's probably going to be some excitement. If you get Becky and Charlotte after what happened, but I don't know. I just think Survivor Series is not really a must see at this point. So that's just me.
Yeah, I'm exactly there with you.
Yep. And before we wrap it up, James, you got to watch what you say on Twitter. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit careful. You got to watch yourself.
Yeah.
Two incidents on Twitter. Number one, Dana Brooks' fiance, not a happy guy. And give me 1 second while I dig that one up. But he was getting trolled on the internet and went to the person's house and punched him out. Yikes. Got arrested. So Dana Brooke managed to get her name in the news the wrong way on that one. But wow. It was, but it was funny that people were reacting that, yeah, and that was, you know, that's, we wish we could do that, but you can't do that.
Nope.
Very, very, very bad. And then the Lindsay Dorado situation, where the father of the super fan Izzy, who's, you've probably seen her, you know, she's the Bailey super fan and she's 13. And well, they apparently had a little spat before, and this father of Izzy put up a post saying, you know, ripping Dorado for, just a sarcastic little one-liner that he got released. And Lindsay Dorado said, I will be at this event. It's done at 4 p.m. Come on over. I'm paying your parking and your ticket. And put up pictures of the paid parking ticket and of the paid admission to the event. The Izzy father backed down and wrote a massive apology online. Wow. Lindsay Dorado wins Twitter in the WWE universe. That's for sure.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. All right. And boy, I hit that music way late. So I'll have to screw up. This is what happens when I have to produce a show. But that is going to wrap it up for us. James, great show, buddy.
Man, great show, Mark.
Absolutely. So, hey,
excited to be on the show.
You got it. Well, we will see you guys tomorrow, 8 a.m. Join us here on KDON. We will look forward to seeing you. I want to wish everybody a great night. Be safe out there in Las Vegas and around the world. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one.